Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Donnie, very quickly, before we get to Bechtold's breakdown, but I like the music and keep playing it, please, Bechtold. Jerry Dulac said on a show, I can't remember where, yesterday, honestly, that
was it. Rich Eisen, he was on.
Yes,
with him
it was.
Recently.
Yes, it was. That the Tomlin deal was 3 years for $50 million, and that's why they won't move off it. Ray Fittipaldo telling us they won't move off some of these assistants because of money. What is happening here? Do we have a mix between Bob Nutting and Art? Is it now Art Nutting and Bob Rooney the second? What is happening here?
I mean, I told you during the break how I'm still kind of caught up over that, like what Ray painted there, saying, yeah, they have Terrell Austin and Pat Meyer under contract for one more season. And now I get that Ray is speculating on the total price, but he's probably close because we do know beyond head coach, they pay their assistants less than anybody else in football, saying collectively they'd have to pay those guys $3 million if they fired them. Do you realize how pathetic that sounds? For an NFL franchise to say that, that would be like somebody here getting fired and they said, well, I don't know if we can fire Donnie, or I don't know if we can fire Joe, or if we can fire Austin. We have to pay them like $30 if we fire them.
It's crazy. It really is. It's just
blasphemy.
Even when you get to the head coach, I mean, okay, so I still don't get, as Costos was saying, and I've been saying all week, I still don't get why the idea of trading him is so wild and crazy and, oh, my God. But that's talk for another day. It's time for a Bechtold breakdown.
For Friday, January 17th, and for the first time, the Bechtold breakdown is sponsored. Southside Plumbing and Heating sponsoring,
yeah, baby,
the breakdown.
Southside Jake,
my guy. I trust him. I love him. He's the man, and he helps bring this breakdown, beginning with Roger Goodell, Donnie, saying that the logical step forward for the NFL is an 18-game regular season. The NFL, after adding 17 games just a few short years ago, now already trending in the direction that we all thought, 18 games. At some point in 2050, it'll probably be 20 and no preseason.
Yeah, I think this was only a matter of time. Now, I don't think he put an exact date on when they're looking to have this happen, but the moment they went to 17, you knew that they were going to go to 18 in even less time it took for them to go to 16 to 17. And they would go 18 regular season games, 2 preseason games, and I'm hoping that they also work in 2 bye weeks with this. I didn't see the full report on if he said the bye weeks would be added. I do know that, what was it, 1993, Joe, that they had an 18-week season and they had 2 bye weeks worked in there?
Don't remember.
Or an 18-game season with 2 bye weeks worked in.
1993.
They did it like 1 year in the early 90s. Anyway, yeah, it was only a matter of time. And just with the addition, too, of international games that we are seeing, because more than ever before, it looks like we are going to get this season. 5 are already confirmed. The reports that the Steelers will host a game in Ireland. There's probably another 1 or 2 along with that. Are they going back to Brazil? They could be more along the lines of 6 to 8 international games, too. I wonder what the schedule would look like when they do this, because I know some people are hoping, hey, let's start it Labor Day weekend and let's end it on President's Day weekend with the Super Bowl, because that gives a lot of people what we've heard some complain about over the years. Hey, the day after the Super Bowl, that should be a holiday for us. And now it can be without making it one, because if you end it on President's Day weekend, there you go.
Yeah, this whole thing stinks. They should go back to 14.
What?
Old man yelling at cloud. There's too many games. There's too many baseball games. 82-game seasons in hockey and basketball are too many, and 18's a joke. The Steelers can't get through a season healthy as it is. Their old guys on defense are not there at the end of the season every year. Quarterbacks get hurt left and right in this league. 18 football games is stupid.
Oh, get out of here. Bring on 18 games. I love it. Lamar's healthy. Burrow's healthy. C.J. Stroud is healthy. Justin Herbert healthy.
How many times has Lamar been healthy for the playoffs? How many times?
Has Lamar been healthy?
Yeah.
He missed 1 year for the playoffs. That happens. It's football.
So
you're going to get hurt.
People get hurt more with more games. There's just too many, Donnie.
See, I agree with you on all the other sports. I think football normally has it down to a pretty good science. Like, it was really good when it was 16. It's still good now with 17. I don't think they can push it, though, any more than what they're already doing. Like, if they once they do move to 18, I don't think you can really push it any more than that.
You can't push the human body any more than that.
You can't go, well, let's do 20 now. Or
I'll tell you what it's going to usher in, too, is the age of load management in the NFL. So I certainly look forward to that. Next.
Could we have a branch on the Mike Tomlin coaching tree? According to Tom Pelissero, the Falcons are interviewing Steelers secondary coach Grady Brown for their defensive coordinator position.
Hmm. A very small branch.
How about that?
May emerge.
Adrian Branch. Remember him from Maryland?
I remember Deion Branch.
Deion Branch
Super
was
Bowl
the MVP,
MVP
of the Super Bowl.
He had some really good years.
Well, this would be good, I suppose. You know, did their secondary perform this season? I don't know.
No.
Joey Porter took a step back to me, and that's the key guy there. Minka hasn't had a turnover since Mulsey had hair. He's had one in the last 2 years.
He's going to start in center field for the Buccos in a few months.
I don't know. I'm a little nonplussed with the job that he did in the secondary.
I cannot believe Atlanta is interested.
But
maybe they should ask for Artie back.
Something else that we said and I brought up during the break is, I almost hope in some of these cases that Steelers coaches get interviews and they get these other jobs, because it forces the Steelers to put somebody else in that spot.
Yeah, like I would love for the Jets to hire Artie.
Yeah, like we said, what if one of these teams do hire Arthur Smith as the head coach? Then the Steelers are forced into finding another offensive coordinator.
You know how bad it is that you're begging somebody else to take the coaches you have on your own staff?
And it's,
seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it's also just to force a little bit of change, because it just feels like there's going to be none.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You've already done the Bechtold breakdown sponsor, have you?
I did, yes. Southside Plumbing and Heating.
Our thanks to them.
Our guide Southside Jake just texted in. He's listening.
Next.
I wonder what he thought of this take, and I want to know what you think of it, Joe. We got to hear Colin Cowherd's thoughts on the Steelers last week from FS1, which were pretty spot on. This one, though, not as much, and I think Donnie knows what I'm talking about. He proposed that the Steelers trade T.J. Watt, George Pickens, a 2025 first-round pick, and a 2026 first-round draft pick, at least two first-round picks, for the rights to draft Shedeur Sanders, number one overall.
I'll say this, everybody who laughs at that, my only objection here is I'm not that big on Sanders. If I thought there was a guy at the top of the draft, I'm moving mountains to get my quarterback, because you can't win without one, period. They already have shown they can't win with T.J. Watt. You can't win without a franchise quarterback. So if you told me there was a guy at top, this was Andrew Luck's year or something, and he was at the top of the draft, I would do that in a heartbeat. But I'm just not sure. I haven't seen enough of Shedeur Sanders. I haven't seen enough to have what I would consider a good educated opinion. I want to have some people on the show who can help enlighten me on him. I've seen him play 3 or 4 games.
I also think with that player specifically, you have to factor in how much of an impact will Deion have and how much of a headache could Deion become.
Yeah. Because, well, Deion may be distracted if he's the coach of the Cowboys or something.
Well, if he gets that, I think he's going to dictate that they move mountains to draft his kid.
And they'll trade Dak Prescott.
Maybe here.
That's likely what could happen. That's what's probably going to happen, Joe. They're going to sign Deion to be their head coach, draft Shedeur Sanders, and move off of Dak.
Where do they pick in the draft? The Cowboys.
12th or 13th?
Yeah, he can't just will that to happen, to have his kid on the team. Right?
I think it's possible.
This isn't like a little league draft. He's not going to show up at the restaurant and say, hey, first things first here, I got to coach my kid.
This is Jerry Jones we're talking about here. Like,
so they can move up to draft him, but the Steelers can't?
Who, Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to give up Micah Parsons and their left tackle and 2 first-round picks to do it. They also don't have to move mountains as much as the Steelers would have to from 21.
From 21, right?
Yeah, the Steelers would have to go almost 10 spots more. Dallas only has to go from 12 to 1. I get what you're saying. I definitely wouldn't do it for that specific player. The guys, we talked about this yesterday. I don't know. Maybe it's just the nature of how I am. I don't know if I would do it for just a college kid who hasn't been in the league yet. I know that's when sometimes those big trades happen. I feel like that's when you can get burned on something like that. Now, if you give me a pick of guys around the league, there are definitely a handful I would move heaven and earth for. Maybe even more than what is on the table there. But there's like the top tier guys in the league.
Right. If this was the year that, like I said, Andrew Luck was the first pick. Peyton Manning was the first pick. Man, I'm looking. Joe Burrow? Would you do this for Joe Burrow coming out of LSU?
Yes.
I sure would. So, yeah, I get it. I get why people are like, this is the craziest thing they've ever heard. But he did add the qualifier if they think he's that guy.
No, he's not that guy. You're not that guy.
How do you know? How do you know Sanders isn't that guy?
Just from what I've seen, I don't think
I feel like he'll be okay to decent NFL player.
How many teams have missed on a quarterback with the first pick? I just called it up just since the year 2000.
Well, the Browns about a dozen times.
David Carr, Alex Smith
Houston.
Was a miss. Jamarcus Russell.
All-time miss.
Sam Bradford. A couple of them they hit on, though. Matthew Stafford was a hit. Cam Newton was a hit. Andrew Luck was a hit. Jameis Winston.
How about Mariota right behind him? They were 1-2.
Remember the Jake Locker draft?
Yes.
Tennessee.
Baker Mayfield was one overall. They should have kept Baker Mayfield. Yep. Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence. Everybody thought, and I did too, that Trevor Lawrence was a can't-miss guy.
The next one.
Didn't you think so?
That's how they portrayed it. Elway.
I mean,
the next Manning.
But you watched him in college. I thought for sure he was going to be a great player, even after his second year in the league. I picked going into year 3. They won a playoff game. Him and Doug Peterson looked like a happy marriage. Going into last season, I think I may have picked Lawrence as the MVP of the league.
I'm pretty positive I did.
There was a crazy stat that he lost more games in either his first or second year with the Jaguars than he did in high school and college combined.
Mm-hmm. It's unreal. I'm sorry, Limits. I interrupted Bechtold's breakdown.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Well, Joe, I'll throw this one at you. We were wondering about what the PM team was going to riff about in regards to me being a part of their show. This is what it was. My poll that went out a couple of days ago, which team is in best position to succeed over the next 5 years? The Pirates, the Penguins, or the Steelers? What would you like to guess that nearly 2,000 people who voted in the poll voted for out of the three options?
I mean, to me, there's a clear answer, even though I have no faith that it's going to pay off, and that's which team is best positioned? The Pirates.
The Pirates, 46%. The Penguins, 15%. The Steelers, 38.5%. How about that?
Donnie?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the results, so I'm glad you asked, Joe, because I knew which way everybody was leaning since we talked about it. And I can understand people picking the Pirates, and I think in years past I would have been one of those people picking the Pirates because they have Paul Skeens. They have some good pitchers behind him, too, on that staff.
I mean, the only thing the question asks is who's best positioned. They have, the 7 or 9 pick this year, too?
Yes.
The Pirates?
I think it's the eighth or ninth pick.
But it's just given their history, it is hard to put a lot of faith in that because until they make a true effort building around what they have and taking advantage of what they have, I feel like it's hard for me to make them the answer.
No, I hear that. But the question wasn't who's going to be the next team to win big in Pittsburgh or win anything of significance. It's who's best positioned. I don't like the people making the decisions, I can tell you that. But in terms of young talent and draft picks, they are best positioned. I don't think they'll take advantage of it, but I do think they're in the best position.
I think the Pirates, too. I have no hope with the Penguins right now, Donnie, with the end of an era, with no hope in sight, not as many draft. I mean, who have they drafted over the last 3 or 4 years that give you any hope?
I mean, who have they drafted over the last 10?
Yes.
We talk about the Steelers draft, the Penguins. We talk about the Steelers misses in drafts. I mean, They're another great case. The only thing where I would put the pause on the Pirates and give hope to the Steelers in this case, if they do hit on a quarterback within the next 5 years, I know it's a big if, about as big as if the Pirates would actually build around Paul Skeens. If they do hit on a quarterback, they are right back in the conversation.
Absolutely, but they're horribly positioned. That's the whole point. The Steelers are stuck in the middle, and this offseason is a great example. They are so poorly positioned that the one spot that they need to fix, there don't appear to be any answers in the draft or free agency or trade or in-house. Do you know of anywhere else to look?
No. Under your pillow?
in your car seat?
Under the bed?
Either.
Any spare change in the cushions?
Now, Austin, another question I had with this. What was your definition of succeed? Just win a playoff game, win a playoff series?
It's sad that the expectations have dipped that low at this point. But yes, like how far can you go in the playoffs? You know, like if you win, the Pirates won 98 games in 2015. I think most people consider 2013 more successful because they won in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would. But the other thing working against them there is just the nature of the league they're in against the, you know, against the NHL and NFL.
Yeah.
Like Major League Baseball is so slanted
To
the big
top
money
dogs.
Teams.
Yeah.
The top dogs that get you top dollar.
Top dog law. Next.
All right. Pony threw this one out there. The candidates for the worst contract in Pittsburgh sports. Mm. Now, he threw a couple of names on here that I was kind of surprised about, but at the top of his list was Minka, Patrick Queen, Tristan Jarry, Eric Carlson, Key Brian Hayes, and then the coaches, Tomlin, Sullivan, and Narduzzi.
So do you have some figures for us? How much was Minka's deal worth? I'm going to go. I was listening to this yesterday.
Minka's 4 years, $73 million.
Yeah, I'm going to go key Brian Hayes. He doesn't play. And when he does play, it's some of the worst stuff I've ever seen in my life. I have never in 45 years of religiously watching the Pirates, I have never seen a baseball player top the ball as much as he does when he comes to the plate. It's infuriating. It's maddening. He 70 million, right, for him?
Over 70 million, 73.
Yeah, I feel like the figures with him really aren't that bad, but the fact is he's always hurt and he's horrible at the plate. I mean, good fielder, great fielder, whatever. The back issue seems like a chronic thing. Like he has the back of somebody who's 70 years old.
Right. And that to me is the worst one. What are some of the other numbers? Like Minka is still a functional player. Sometimes he's a good player. He's not living up to his contract. Don't get me wrong. But since he signed it, didn't he have a year where he had six interceptions?
He had a great year.
It's not Minka. That's not a good contract. Who else is
so
in there?
Erik Karlsson, 8 years, $92 million. His cap hits 11.5 per year.
But doesn't San Jose take up some of that?
They take up a million.
And he's not. He plays. And sometimes he plays well, and sometimes he's fun to watch. It's a horrible contract, but it's not key Brian Hayes. It's not $77 million for nothing.
Well, talking just player-centric, keeping coaches out of it, I did not think this was the case until I completely broke it down. Tristan Jarry is the worst deal. 5 years at $27 million. He has been a complete shell of himself and what he was when he first came up.
Yeah.
I had never had faith in him. When they signed the contract, I knew that this was going to set them back. I didn't know it would be this bad. But
what was your choice?
Jarry's
a good pick.
Well, the day that the Jarry news happened, I led my show with that the other night, whichever night that was, Tuesday or Wednesday, about Jarry being one of the worst contracts that I can ever remember in Pittsburgh sports. And
yes.
I know there are always plenty, and you know, I had people chime in with ones that they wanted to. But the fact that Kyle Dubas walked in here, and I know that the former regime did him no favors. I know that Ron Hextall was not good in his position, but he didn't make him sign Tristan Jarry to a 5-year deal. He didn't make Kyle Dubas signed Ryan Graves to a 6-year deal. His first two contracts right out of the gate are two of the worst that the Penguins have had in their history.
Yeah.
Because Graves, the guy is a healthy scratch half of the time. He has 0 points on the season. He's, I don't even know what his plus minus is. I know he's well into the negatives. And then with Tristan Jarry, not only does he not live out the contract at even a mediocre level, he didn't make it 2 years in to a 5-year deal before you're ready to cut bait. They send the guy to the minors because no team in their right mind would claim him, and they're just going to buy him out at the end of the season.
Yeah, the only caveat there, and it's up there, is 70-plus million compared to 27 or 25 million.
Yeah, I just think...
And I realize the two leagues, it's a different
percentage. Yeah, the financials are a little bit different.
We'd have to figure out what percentage of the Penguins' payroll Jarry takes up, and what percentage of the Pirates' payroll? Who has a bigger... Wait a second here. Who had a bigger payroll? What's the NHL cap this year? Do the Penguins...
85.
I think the Penguins in a cap league had a bigger payroll than the Pirates.
That sounds about...
It was right around the same area, yeah.
Aren't the Pirates at like 87?
Yeah, I'm going key Brian Hayes. I'm sorry. It's the worst... How about Ladarius Green? Anybody mention him?
I remember. There were people that texted and tweeted at me about Ladarius Green. I remember that. He had the one big game.
I don't know what he signed for.
Green had the one big game against the Giants, and that was it. He was either hurt or just terrible.
Jarry only takes up 5% of their cap.
Yeah.
At least buried cap number.
And how much does Key Bryan take up? Is he a $15 million a year guy? That's not right, is it?
No.
How much does he take up? $7 million a year? I can't figure my math.
It was seven for a while.
The other player I got a whole lot of the other day was Jack Johnson, another great Penguin signing.
He's a great one, and they bought him out. So I think they either last year they stopped paying him or this year they're still paying him.
Yeah,
I can't remember which.
He made it like 1 year into his 5-year deal. Charlie, I was with him the other night when we had this conversation, thank God, because he's a huge hockey fan. He also brought up the point that buyout forced them into getting rid of good players that they had on their cup run.
Yes.
They had to trade Phil Kessel And they had to move on from a few other key role players on those Cup teams because of that Jack Johnson signing.
Here's the thing about that signing, too. Like, I can see rationale, some at least a tiny bit. Even Ryan Graves, even Jari, two-time All-Star. The most irrational signing that I've ever seen in this town was Jack Johnson. It made zero sense. It was like Rutherford was trying to do the dude a favor. It was just weird, like he felt bad for him, a guy that he had picked in Carolina. It was the strangest, most nonsensical, everybody knew was horrible signing that I've ever seen in this town.
Wasn't he Crosby's buddy, too?
He was, from way back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it had more to do with Rutherford. What the hell was he doing?
Didn't they also choose to sign Jeff Carter instead of Tanev?
Something like that.
So they protected Carter.
And
Tanev got taken by the Kraken.
Yeah.
Key Brian Hayes, if he did not sign that deal, would have been arbitration eligible this upcoming year and the year after. He has $7 million on the book for the next 3 years like he did last year. Then it's $8 million. He's a club option for 2030 at $12 million.
The other thing,
come on, Donnie, that's the worst contract in history.
The thing that's so there is, even if he's like a base level player overall, it's not a bad deal whatsoever,
right?
Given the money that is thrown around in baseball.
All right, thank you, Austin.
Thank you.
What a wonderful man
you've
become.